Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Matt Spiegel with you. Saturday Suckage for the next hour. Later this hour, we will do Transition with Julie and Maggie. They will be officially on the air at 2 o'clock. They'll be here around 1:40, and we will talk with them. In the meantime, I want you to know this. This will be near and dear to your heart. Number 72 turned 72.
Saw that!
On Boxing Day.
My dude.
Yep. Was your dude?
He was one of my dudes. I mean, that whole 1975 to 78.
Oh, yeah.
That whole... Really, through 79, that batch of Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dwight Evans, Jim Rice.
Dewey. We call him Dewey. Do you play the Dewey card?
Yeah. Freddie Lynn.
Yeah.
Butch Hobson, the manager of your Chicago Dogs independent league team.
That's true.
Over there, who played football for Bear Bryant. And then was a third baseman for Don Zimmer and had bone chips in his elbow, but Zimmer kept throwing him out there, so he committed 35 errors at third base that year.
Some fine managing by that by
and the guy
1978 Zim.
The guy you mentioned, Carlton Fisk, who was a rookie of the year in 72, I believe,
mm-hmm.
at number 72.
Number 72, rookie of the year in 72, and yep. He turned 72 on Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm.
So arguably the most important acquisition, well, for the longest time, but I think most important White Sox acquisition in the Reinsdorf chairmanship, Reinsdorf Einhorn, he gave them credibility, I believe, and certainly gave them a leader, gave them somebody who could tag out two players on the same play at home plate. But this comes from Dave Gallagher, former White Sox player.
Yeah.
Played with Pugs. And here's his, he says, he tweeted out his favorite Fisk story. A fan walks onto our team bus and says, "Carlton, will you sign? You're my favorite player." He says it three times before the driver escorts the fan off the bus. Once outside the bus, the fan shouts at Fisk, "I hope you break your leg. You're my favorite player." There you go.
You remember what happened at the end of his White Sox career?
It was awful. It just, they couldn't, they were just so.
It was so
every,
close.
That was at a time where every White Sox parting had to be ugly. It was like a rule. It always had to be ugly.
Yeah, and they gave him a motorcycle, right? Remember they gave him a motorcycle?
They told him to drive on out of here. Tell your story riding. Yeah.
Within days.
Hi, your
it's
career,
too bad.
Gene Lamont, your career's over. Don't come to Cleveland with us.
Uh-huh.
It was just. That was awful. That's just a bad thing all the way around.
Yeah, but then things are good with them now. Got a statue outside the ballpark in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a team ambassador for a while now, so relationship is in a very good place with the White Sox these days. That's good.
I had very few conversations with him. One of them took place at the Lake Tahoe Golf Tournament, American Century Tournament.
Yeah.
And it's like he didn't want to stop talking, and I had not really had a conversation with him. I feared it because some people had said he can be a tough guy to get through. And I've dealt with tough interviews before. Some people just want you to prove your credibility.
Hmm.
They don't openly, they're not going to keep talking no matter who you are and think you're worthwhile. And I learned that after how my first beat was the Angels. The California Angels was my first beat.
Hmm.
And that was a team that included Rod Carew, Doug DeCinces, John Candelaria, tough guys. Toughest of all was Reggie Jackson. And Reggie was approaching 500 home runs.
Sure. Rupert Jones on that team?
No, I don't remember Rupert. Tommy John was. He was.
Okay.
Patrick Manley's father-in-law was the hero on that team. But these guys could be really difficult. And he's approaching 500 home runs. You got to write this story. So on a Thursday before they go on the road trip, Reggie, can I, you got a minute here? No. What are you going to talk about? Your home runs. No. Okay. Friday, come back and do the same thing. Reggie, hi, I'm Steve Rosenblum, LA Daily News. Got a minute? Can we talk a little bit? What? About your home runs. You're approaching 500. No. I do the same thing on Saturday. Sunday's my last shot because I was not going on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I think, about to, it was time off to be married. So this is that, about the time you did that. And my last shot was, so I walk up, introduce myself again. And he's, and I said, what do you want to talk about? I said, your home runs, you're approaching 500. All right, man, talk. And I said, okay. In your first year, first full year, when you hit 23, you hit nine of them, three each, off three Cy Young Award winners, McClain and Palmer. And he stops and looks at me and goes, yeah, man, yeah. I said, well, so what was it? I mean, did what give you confidence? You prove you could play? And he wouldn't stop talking for 40 minutes. I had proven that I did my homework.
You did a little research.
Right. And I went through every one of his home runs and saw off who and why and where it was. And we talked for 40 minutes. I said, I know you got batting practice. He goes, yeah, I got to go out to hit. You want to come on out? We'll continue this conversation. It's unbelievable. So I worried about that with Fisk, and he wouldn't stop talking. It was great because this is, you know, it's certainly a legendary moment, right? And had done other things along the way that meant huge things in two different cities, two different baseball cities. And it was great. And then I would later interview Ben Affleck, and he said, they put that in Good Will Hunting. He said, we were going to put our youth in that movie once we had the chance to put our youth in that movie. That was the biggest moment of our youth. That's great. How would you like to be in that position of power? Authority to say, yeah, we're putting the home run in there. Okay?
Yeah,
it's our movie.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that Fisk home run is huge in the history of sports television as well.
Yes.
Because it was a reaction shot. They stuck with the ball player, and you saw him waving the ball fair and saw his face as he went up and down the line, and that was the first time that they really did that.
And if you watch that and you're of this generation, I'm loath to use the term millennials, but if you're a recent TV watching generation and you watch the way Fox has 8,000 cameras out there now, you think, well, of course they did.
Right.
But this was 1975.
They didn't.
No, they did not.
They did. Well, and you know the story behind that. There's the legendary story. The cameraman was inside the Green Monster out there in left field, and there was a rat. There was a rat that ran in front of him. And the place was loaded with rats, that scoreboard. And you can Google this, it's out there. And because of the rat, he didn't move the camera to his other position that he was supposed to be in because the rat freaked him out. So he just made an at the moment decision, I'll just stick with the player because I can't maneuver the camera because the rats are over there. So he stuck with the player, and the director took that shot. And there you go.
And that, and history.
Yep.
The greatest mistake, the biggest rat.
Good job, rat.
There you go. It gave us that. But you would expect now everybody's faces, you got everything covered, right? But back then, that was a thing. That moment was, in a sense, called by Johnny Bench. In an interview I did with him, I asked, okay, you know, for all the, whatever the Big Red Machine did, uh-huh. I mean, that was legendary. And he said, oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be over. I knew he was going to do that. And I said, no, really. He goes, yeah. I went out to warm up Pat Darcy in the 12th inning, and he threw two pitches. I looked over at Sparky. I said, this is going to be over. And sure enough, it was.
Bench knew
it. Because he had nothing. I mean, it was the kind of year Pat Darcy had nothing.
So I love that. You know, sometimes you forget just how lucky we are to have trafficked in this business and worked in this business. You get that experience with Reggie Jackson. How great is that?
To learn to have stories to tell or other people telling stories.
Absolutely. And when you're young, you don't realize how to approach these people and talk to these people. Did I ever tell you about when I was at Fenway as I was a junior in college, and I got a press pass.
Ooh.
Oh, baby. You kidding me? Be on the field for a pregame and batting practice? And the Red Sox were playing the Tigers, and they're standing around the batting cage and taking BP, watching each other hit bombs, was Mickey Tettleton, Rob Deere, Nick Asaski, Tom Bernanski, Jack Clark. These were the guys. Jack Clark for the Red Sox. I'm watching these guys hit bombs and just talk to each other and spit tobacco. I'm a junior in college.
Were you drooling, by the way?
I was.
At all of this? Oh,
man.
Did you need a drool cup to catch?
I was doing my own version of the Chris Farley show. So I walk up.
Remember that home run? Remember that time Lasorda pitched to you, Jack?
Jack Clark. Hey, Jack, you got a minute to talk? You know, I'm trying to get some sound to Jack Clark to do him a little college newscast.
Uh-huh.
And Jack's like, yeah. Yeah, what's up? So it's Jack Clark, big tough Jack Clark, on the tail end of the career at this point.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty cool. You guys just kind of hanging around each other and watching the home runs and talking.
No.
It's pretty cool. Huh?
Really?
Yeah, that's what I said. And Jack said, are we doing this effing interview or what?
Seriously?
Uh-huh. I said, that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure we are. So the team, let's talk about the team.
Let's talk about the team. That's
but
it.
Clark, are
so you
we
really
doing
did
this?
Do a Farley
he didn't say effing. You know? He said, are uh-huh. we doing this effing interview or what? Yeah, I learned don't talk atmosphere with people. They don't really care.
Ask him a question. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Short, neutral, and open-ended is the best way to ask a question, so and your subject will go from there.
So this is pretty fun, huh, you guys?
Wow.
Jack Clark.
All right. So that would be something that would be on a new channel, maybe a Cubs channel. I don't know if I ran this by you. I know the Cubs are going to have their new channel, and all of this is intertwined. So ahead of this, I want to say that if I were running Marquee, the new Cubs channel, the voice of my station would be Lynn Bramer, and I would assign him to be my voice, to be the soundtrack of my station, my channel, and I would have him do essays like we heard him do on WGN on Channel 9 back when there was a Channel 9, and we played several of them on this stage, on this show, and I just think that would be so. That's home. And you have to, if you're the Cubs, and yet Marquee probably doesn't understand it, there is a very proprietary neighborhood homogeneity or homogenous feeling about what that network seems to be, and outsiders won't cut it. I think Sinclair is an outsider, and I think they're going to get it wrong.
Mm.
Bruce had mentioned the other day, Lynn Casper and Jim Deshaies are still unsigned. And I don't know, maybe they're signed, but this is a Cubs convention kind of moment. This is what you do. I have some breaking news for you. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But you're asking fans to pay more. They're going to, some way or another, they're going to pay more. You're not, you haven't guaranteed, you haven't done anything to announce what kind of familiarity you're going to provide them with. And you're talking about trading Chris Bryant. Or at least that's out there and has not been flatly denied. How do you do? And you can't make a deal anyways for any of them until Bryant's status gets settled. Because you can't leave yourself. You have to act like you're competing.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can start a new network and get rid of any of the core. I can see how you start a network and you extend Chris Bryant. I see that's the money I would do. You can't cry poor if you're the Cubs when you brought.
You are asking for church and state to be intertwined. You are asking directly for marketing and roster construction and team building to be intertwined, and they should not be.
I am asking directly
championship
for a
building.
Team to live up to the fact that Tom Ricketts doesn't believe in windows, there should be a championship played for every year.
Uh-huh. That means
you're not going to win a championship losing the Chris Bryant trade.
Well, what was that comment about? What was that comment about?
But you're in your championship window.
Pick a year and tell me what that comment was about. Which season? Like, to pick a season. When he said, no, we're not talking about a window. We're talking about every year. What year is he talking about?
Every year.
2023, 2024. 2025. He's talking about those years. He's talking about not being real good and going for it for two more years and then falling off the table completely and being in the pits of the Philadelphia Phillies despair that they were in.
You don't necessarily have to.
I think that the mandate and the idea is to extend the window. And I think
He doesn't believe in windows. Well, you're going to extend something he doesn't believe in.
Well, no. Is to extend the competitiveness instead of just having a window and then falling off the table. He wants them to figure out a way. The mandate is for them to figure out a way to make things longer and more consistent and have sustained excellence and not just a window.
Give them more money. Do you think it's at all insulting that you're going to be asked to pay more for the channel? You saw them buy up all of Wrigleyville, turn it into Ricketsville, and now they got to move money, and they can't even sign Eric Sogard to a contract.
I think it's really bad timing. I think it's really unfortunate timing.
So where's the money? Isn't it insulting? Why should a Cum fan think anything good's going to come of this? I mean, why would you buy that channel?
Well, no, because you want to watch the team. It's going to go down this year, but if it goes back up next year,
the
payroll. Oh. If they stay under the tax for this year because they don't want to be in the second year of repeater tax.
I don't care. I don't care if they are or not. Okay. They seem to have an endless amount of money.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but they certainly care. The repeater tax and that whole thing, it is a de facto cap for just about every organization in Major League Baseball.
No question.
And it is complicated and multifaceted in ways that we don't even get. Bleacher Nation, you see what Brett wrote? He totally tried to dive into it and figure out everything with it. And I commend his efforts. And it's worth reading.
That was the Big Short of salary tax, really, of luxury tax. What he did, he tried to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Once
you got to draft picks, I understood now why you don't want to go near that.
But even before that, the money, which, you know, the lazy way to look at it, and I'm not defending, I'm just saying what it is. The lazy way to look at it is $7.5 million, because that's how much it cost last year. And the other way to look at it is the multifaceted way that Brett looked at it, where you realize that if you do it in year two, you're probably looking at 50 to 60 million.
It becomes exponential as opposed to additional.
Absolutely. Yeah. 50 to 60 million. And then, oh, by the way, if you screw yourself and it's year three, then you're like over 100 and you're losing draft picks and stuff like that. I mean, there's a reason that nobody wants to dive into that for 2 years in a row.
I don't care about the Ricketts money. They seem to have an endless supply of it. Draft picks I care about. I don't care about the Ricketts money. If I were a Cub fan, I'd be angry. I'm being told now, you got to pay for a new channel. We're going to get rid of one of your most popular players. And I remember last time we did a show, I was in error. We'll break in a minute. I was in error. I was calling Bryant while you're trading one of the five best players in the league. And then you rightly pointed out, this was his WAR last year. He was barely in the top 20. Mm-hmm. And I remember what I had looked up was over a four-year span. So MVP year to even last year, and including injuries. And WAR is a... WAR adds up, so you miss games, you're missing chances to add to it. And he was still a top five guy. That's what I was looking at in over a 4 year span. And whatever the dips were, I still think, look, me, I can be selfish about it, and I want spend your money. Yeah, I don't care. You have an endless amount of money, and this is your young core, and these guys. Now you got your manager you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you trading any of those guys.
I got you. I think a lot of fans are right there with you. A lot of fans are right there with you. Mm. I think in terms of Bryant, what they're looking at from from Theo's perspective is we're not going to be able to pay Contreras, Baez, Rizzo, Bryant. We're not going to be able to Schwarber. We're not going to be able to pay all of them. They're not going to be able to sign all of them. And
Bryant is different from the rest of them in my world.
Okay. Well, Bryant is the one who is going to be the least signable for them and the one who's going to make the most over what I think they believe his value to be.
Okay. That might be the case. I'm less interested in buying and paying for that channel because they seem less interested in keeping together the players I think can win a World Series. That's the bottom line, Matt. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you got quarterback thoughts.
Many people are talking about a snub of the highest order, and I think the snub is justified. Completely justified.
Then it's not a snub.
I agree. It is a buns.
It's a buns.
Backwardsing it.
All right.
It's a non-snub.
It's a buns.
It's an unsnub.
Well, we'll get to Spiegel's buns in just a moment. Rosenblum and Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And why is that?
Because it's beautiful, simple, elegant.
Comes from early in the Eagles' career, Peaceful Easy.
Does, right?
Yeah.
And my wife has sparkly earrings that lay against her skin so brown.
All right. Well, that connects the dots. I was asking Speegs. Tributosaurus becomes the Eagles for the next 3 nights.
Starting tomorrow, yep.
And Martyrs and Wire, and that's how they ring in the new year. Eagles, very popular on this show. And I asked, what was your favorite song to perform? And he said, Peaceful, Easy Feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, they did some harder stuff. So you have somebody to do the whole Joe Walsh guitar thing, shred it the way.
Three people.
Three people?
Yeah,
really?
You can't do the Eagles with less than three electric guitarists. You can't.
Okay.
Cannot be done.
I just wasn't sure how that gets, you know, the Tributosaurus, the way you manufacture it. I know there's the hunt for, well, we need the right sitar.
Uh-huh.
We need the right bell. Have to do all of that
the
stuff.
Right tool for the right job.
We are the
Civil War recreationists of rock and roll.
Musical archaeology. I love that.
Yes.
That's outstanding.
Anthropology. Although archaeology yes. also important.
All right. So
yeah, we got a guy to do the talk box for those shoes, and I'm sure we'll reference Rocky Mountain Way, because how do you not when all of a sudden you got a talk box on the stage? This segment is brought to you by Subway, Steve. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts of coupons may be applied. By the way, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow night or the 30th or 31st, go to Tributosaurus.com. There's a few tickets available for the shows. So
it's always terrific. First of all, it's like Tributosaurus Oki in some ways. You'll know all the words. They don't want you to sing along, but you'll know all the words. It'll be a good feeling. I was there when I think you were doing Beatles C through D. And I remember that show at Martyrs, you were going to do them in alphabetical order.
Chronological
order.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And even the including the British ones. And
yes.
This is great. I know these words.
And the German ones.
It doesn't want me to say, yeah.
We did, I
want to
hold your hand. And ich bin eine Hand.
Right.
Uh-huh. And sie liebt dich, for she loves
Excuse
you.
Excuse me?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So you, all right, we ventured off, but coloring outside the lines is fun.
Yes.
And you're angry.
I'm
There's
not.
A snub. People calling about a snub, and you think, ha! No snub for you.
So they're doing the all-time NFL team.
The NFL Network is.
Yeah.
NFL,
For the 100th year of the NFL.
It's been some great shows.
Unbelievable. There's a snippet out there of Tom Brady talking about some stuff that he learned from Peyton Manning and how it transformed their offense and essentially made Rob Gronkowski a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable.
Yes. This is whatever they call that four-dimension chess when Brady and Peyton Manning, yeah, that's what they're doing.
It is truly great. So here are your all-time team quarterbacks. They had to name 10, okay?
Only 10.
Yeah. Sammy Baugh, okay. Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas, Roger Staubach, John Elway, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, Tom Brady. Those are your 10. And the guy who's not there is Drew Brees. And Drew Brees has the most yards in NFL history, has the most touchdowns in NFL history. He has the top three games of the highest completion percentage in NFL history.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's...
Top three. Yeah.
You could also remove Brett Favre and put Aaron Rodgers on that list.
Yeah, but Rodgers isn't done. And I'm okay with Rodgers' lack of inclusion.
His is less egregious than Drew Brees.
Peyton Manning's on the list and Drew Brees is not.
I don't think Drew Brees' lack of inclusion is egregious. I think that everybody's screaming about that and using the numbers to make the case are completely and utterly missing the point. Brees is a brilliant quarterback, there is no doubt. But it's okay to be 11th or 12th or 13th best all time. The numbers are staggering, but he's in an era when the numbers are severely inflated by the rules and the evolution of the game. So numbers enough does not get it done. And I find myself going back to the Hall of Fame instinct and asking myself this. Was there a moment? How many moments were there where you were like, Drew Brees is either the best or one of the two or three best in the entire league? For like a multi-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been really, really good. But the entire time that Brady and Manning were here, you'd take those guys first.
They always seem to be there, yes. One of the things that you could make the case is where are you getting your, what are your criteria? And where are you getting your, because some of it, of what you're describing is anecdotal. It's your view, what other people are saying.
Yes.
And you, so that's why when I say, what are your criteria, and you define your terms as they tell you in legal, in law school and in legal terms, define your terms. So that way, if you go, well, completion percentage, we value holding on to the football.
Yeah.
Then he should be number one. He's the guy you want most.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Because really what it should be, and we could do this numerically, and maybe somebody will. Brees needs to be compared to his peers. If you're like saying Marino compared to his peers, numerically, he was stratospherically ahead of all of them. What they were doing in Miami was explosive and insane compared to what was going on around him. There was like maybe Dan Fouts in the Chargers.
Yeah.
Right? Other than that, there wasn't anybody really, really doing what Marino was doing. Compare Brees' numbers to Philip Rivers' numbers or Tony Romo's numbers or Aaron Rodgers' numbers or
Pat Mahomes' numbers,
which are better. And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, Brees as compared to his peers versus Marino and say Elway compared to their peers. I guarantee if somebody runs those numbers, you'll realize that Elway and Marino were that much better compared to their peers. They were better than Brees is compared to his peers.
So, that gets back to Hall of Fame voting against one's era. Were you the best player of your era,
yes.
Which is a Hall of Fame, not written that way in the rules, but a bylaw that, or one of the Ten Commandments that almost every voter goes by in every sport.
Right. And I understand why Slingin' Sammy Baugh is there, and I understand why Otto Graham is there, because you have to represent the entire 100 years. That's what
and
you're
Unitas.
Trying to do. And Unitas. And those guys all moved the game forward in dramatic ways. Otto Graham won more than Brady, if you combine all the different associations and stuff. Staubach? Did Staubach move the game forward? The one I have the question about is Staubach.
I don't think he did. He won more. He was Fran Tarkenton with Super Bowl rings.
Because he ran a lot.
Uh-huh.
He ran an awful
right.
lot.
And was effective throwing on the run, running around, making people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the first quarterback shuttle. You know how they have like tight ends come in with the new play that they were calling? Tom Landry did it with Craig Morton and Roger Staubach. He had the quarterbacks going in and out on each play.
Uh-huh.
So it was quite the relay system. But I would have problems. And
most of what I've seen are saying Brees should be there over Marino or over Elway, and I think that's insane. Or just people lazily saying Brees should be there over Baugh and Otto Graham, and because they're old guys. No, it's 100 years,
yes.
And they're talking about the entire 100-year history of the thing.
What they meant back then,
absolutely, yes. And how much better they were than their peers.
Right, and you look at Johnny Unitas. What he did, Johnny Unitas. Pretty much invented the 2-minute drill.
Right.
That's what the story, that's the part of the legend. Okay, so you deserve, we're going to, now everybody waits for it. So, yeah, Johnny Unitas would be there. One of the things about Marino is, and it depends what kind of voter, Hall of Fame voter you are, is this an individual thing? You're trying to make it more like baseball. It's always, did he win? Mm. That's one of the things I look at. Did he win?
I don't think that
and Marino.
I have a hard time with that argument in football.
I know because so many...
it's complimentary game. There's so much that has to go wrong. For instance, Terry Bradshaw won four times. He's got no business being on this list.
I don't think
he has any business. I don't think Aikman, who won three times, would have business being on this list.
Mm-hmm. Second,
you know, and so it's like to me, it's Breeze, Marino, and Elway, and probably Staubach were better than their contemporaries to a higher degree than Drew Brees has been. And that's not to dismiss Drew Brees. It's just to acknowledge the era and the numbers that we live in.
Like you said, if you're the 11th or 12th best in NFL history,
that's pretty good.
Still nice. You're probably still sitting in the front row. So
yes.
You know who else isn't on that list? Ryan Leaf.
No, he sure isn't.
And he knows it. So he tweeted this out. Yeah. God bless Ryan Leaf and these kind. I was just informed that I was not selected to the NFL all-time 100.
Mm.
I stand with my other snubs out there and our disappointment in this process. I've set up a support group to help. Tag a couple fellow NFL legend snubs and we'll rise up together. And he tagged Jeff Schwartz. And Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, that's poking the bear right there.
Ryan Leaf, God bless you for having a sense of humor. So he is the self-proclaimed snub. I love that.
Real quick, guys. I want to get your opinion on
this Adam Studzinski butting into where he doesn't belong.
Oh, excuse me.
No,
sorry. I think the Brees and Rodgers and whoever else in the quarterbacks list is whatever. I think the most egregious exception from this list is Terrell Owens. Like, how do you name by any metric, Terrell Owens is one of the top five best receivers in the history of the NFL. How is he not on the list?
I have not broken down the 10 wide receivers who are there, but I will stand up and tell you Don Hutson deserves to be there, my friend.
There was several guys on there that I was like, okay, yeah, Hutson I get. And, obviously they got Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Was Lance Allworth there? Probably.
I think Bambi was there, and Raymond Berry is there.
There was like the 6-7 guys I was like, okay, but there was at least three guys I was like, yeah, Terrell Owens needs to be here.
Well, the wide receivers have it tough as well because of the explosion of the numbers. That's why Chris Carter didn't get into the Hall of Fame the first year and all of those.
I don't know who the voters were. You always have to look at what the bias might be. The NFL might be taking it personal that mm-hmm. Terrell Owens didn't show up for the Hall of Fame thing.
He took it personal that they didn't vote him in earlier when he absolutely should have been in earlier.
I'm not saying that both sides couldn't act weren't acting like children, but in this case, that might be part of the fallout.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know who the voters were or what they were, but I remember these NFL, the studio stories. The studio things are setting up.
Bill Belichick showing
life and an actual human and not a droid. The fact that the Lawrence Taylor show. Did you see the Lawrence Taylor show?
He
used to be Lawrence Taylor's defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
Right? And believes Lawrence Taylor's the greatest defensive player ever because he changed the game so much. And before a game on a Saturday night when they hold the meetings, Bill Belichick holds a defensive meeting, and he starts it, and Lawrence isn't there. So then Lawrence shows up late, and Bill Belichick goes to tell Parcells, Bill, I got to tell you, Lawrence, LT wasn't here on time for the meeting. And Parcells looks at Belichick and says, why'd you start the meeting without him?
The one guy.
Yes.
That's the one guy you might do that for.
Belichick's telling that story on himself and laughing.
That's awesome.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Julia Maggie will be joining us for Transition. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, listen. The bottom of the hour was delightful. I was here for it. And it was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves host the Admirals at 3 p.m. tomorrow in the final home game of 2019. It's a Little Debbie Sunday, which means the first 1,000 kids receive a Dave & Buster's gameplay card at the door. And this segment is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Napa Auto Parts is having a huge blowout sale yesterday and today only. Save 25% store-wide. That's 25% off store-wide yesterday, Friday, and today, Saturday at Napa. At participating locations, while supplies last, some exclusions apply. Go to NapaBigSale.com for more details.
That's Matt Spiegel. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Joining us now, Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks. They will follow us, and they'll be on forever.
We are on for like 18 hours tonight. We'll still be here tomorrow at this time.
It's a DeCaro Hendricks-a-thon.
Exactly.
So you'll be on at 2.
Yeah, this is what I said. You guys are doing a 3-hour show. We're doing a 5-hour show. We should have each done 4-hour shows.
Excuse
me. Happy medium.
I did 2 hours.
He had 2 hours with Bruce,
you know,
which is exponential.
Veteran, you can stick around.
You know what? 2 hours with Bruce counts as 4 hours. So I'm up to 7, I believe, if my math is correct.
He's got an overtime.
And 3 hours with Rosie counts as 6. So. Oh. It's a long day, man.
That's an imprisonment.
Ladies.
So you guys have been on WTTW. All of you have been on, right?
Yeah.
And their WTTW is doing a preview.
I thought you said I thought you said TWTW for a second.
No.
Okay.
Preview for next year, and this is a tweet from Kerry Johnson, who covers the Justice Department for NPR.
Yeah.
And this preview show on WTTW asks, "What's the first public corruption indictment to drop in 2020 in Chicago?"
Oh, wow. In Chicago.
That's the first one. So when you get such a gimme, and I thought I was cynical and skeptical, and I just thought that's a wonderful way to start. There you are. Welcome to this city.
Yeah. Do we mean an actual indictment or just a scandal?
This says indictment.
Is Ed Burke already indicted?
That's what was my question.
I'm not sure if he's been indicted yet.
I don't think he's indicted, so I'll go with Ed Burke.
You know, I'm a 3-time winner in my fantasy indictment league. So
we discussed this.
Glad we started talking about this.
The Deadpool, which became a movie, this is the time of year when you round up the usual suspects and you start making your Deadpool list.
Yeah.
That was started by a guy I worked with at LA Kings games. He was a statistician. And he came up with the idea for the Deadpool. And guys would get together in the Forum Press Club in January and have their Deadpool draft.
You know, Thursday is the 28th anniversary of The Score. And in the old days of The Score, when I was a producer for McNeil and Bors, they used to do a Deadpool, which is, of course, incredibly classy and thoughtful.
We would never get away with
that.
We always had a family one.
I'll tell you when it ended.
Like an unofficial one, yeah.
I'll tell you which pick essentially ended the Deadpool.
Hey, Vigoda?
Yes. No, no. The pick at the time, because a caller made the pick, and we all looked down at ourselves and
their shame.
Yeah, Gunnar Esiason was the pick at the time.
Oh God,
that'll do it.
End scene. Star wipe and out.
Did they have a text line back then? They didn't have a text line.
There was no text
line. That's what I mean, because we would immediately get, you're the worst people in the world.
Or we would also, people would pick us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so.
No. Yeah, no. It was when somebody picked a child with cystic fibrosis, it was like, okay, let's all stop doing this.
Let's move
right along.
Who you crap. So we were discussing this earlier in the Bears' second exhibition game of December. Where Matt Nagy is reluctantly, apparently, letting his starters play in this exhibition game. Is there anything what could happen yesterday or tomorrow that you could think is positive, hopeful, that you would actually put that would have gravitas, anything serious?
Nothing.
If both teams decide to get together, get in a circle and protest climate change.
That would be great.
That's about it.
That'd be good.
Or
that's
protesting
Harvard,
Colin Kaepernick,
right? Isn't that where we are?
Exclusion from the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the Vikings are not going to play all their starters. I mean, they've got nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Even if they do, it's like when everyone got all fired up because the Bears beat the Lions. People were parading around. Yeah, Mitch led us down the field for a 90-yard drive against the Lions.
Right.
It's the same thing.
And
I live with a Vikings fan.
But I think the best part of this is we'll see this play out. Is there will be something good against a bunch of Vikings mannequins and the scrubs, and they'll, when you hear the Bears crow about this, you will confirm how delusional they are.
And it's absolutely going to happen. It's
sure.
absolutely going to happen.
But and if
really
it doesn't, is that worse?
On for
what
the
if
offseason?
You know, what if he sucks against the Vikings scout team?
Here's the thing. If you could separate for a moment the well-earned cynicism that that the brain trust receives.
Yes.
extremely well earned. And just go back to the human factor of these guys who are playing the football game.
Yeah.
It is better for them and therefore better for the team and better for us and the whole town if they have a little success and they feel good about themselves. Just on a normal.
I think they feel fine about themselves.
I do not. Hey. I do not. After getting completely pantsed and embarrassed on a Sunday night on national TV by the Chiefs at home,
I don't think one win against the Chiefs or against the Vikings will make everything be okay and feel better.
I agree with that.
I think they need to all get away from football for a while. Go sit on an island and, you know, and just like go somewhere.
Waste away in Margarita.
I know, but if you have a good last segment of a mediocre radio show, don't you feel better as you wait for the next one?
No. Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. If we're walking away and we had a really good last segment where we don't talk about sports at all, please. I feel like that, you know?
No, because we've got the text line to keep us honest and tell us how bad the show was.
The Bears don't take the same kind of direct criticism.
I don't feel like this team, I feel like the players as well as the front office and the coaches have been delusional. I mean, the comments about, you know, fans shouldn't boo us and guys going online and picking fights with, you know, media members and then winning the media's good guy award inexplicably, which I didn't really understand. Guys taking pictures of reporters and making fun of them because they reported an injury. I mean, this team, I think, feels fine about itself. I don't know that they are necessarily suffering from lack of self-esteem.
Thoughts coming out of mouths.
I said what I said.
On the score.
I was listening to you guys coming in, and I had my phone up, and I was, like, making notes into my phone orally while
too.
I was talking, because I was like, I had so much to say on what you guys were talking about.
What was it? What were you talking about?
I mean, you guys were talking about what Nagy, what his thought process was going from Mahomes to Mitch.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting to think about.
Yeah,
because Nagy clearly was educating the quarterback he wished he had.
Right.
And coaching,
exactly
and,
right.
and coaching the offense he wished he had the talent
right?
for.
And then Steve talking about all the stuff that all you know that Ryan Pace has never been with an organization that's drafted and developed a quarterback.
That was great stuff from him, and we can add to that, which I added to him in the break after. Remember that when Pace got here and he said, yeah, I kind of believe in the philosophy of a draft quarterback every year. And then he didn't draft one in 2015. And then 2016, he also didn't draft one. They had 3 fourth-round picks and took Kwiatkowski, Deion Bush, and DeAndre Hall. And then the Cowboys took Dak Prescott. So add that in. He had 9 picks in 7 rounds in 2016 in Jay Cutler's final year. And didn't bother to take a potential quarterback of the future.
So now the quarterbacks that we know he has passed on, we have Dak Prescott, we have Patrick Mahomes, and we have Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, I just want to make sure I have that list clear in my head.
Sure.
So I can yell it a lot.
And the idea that you draft a quarterback every year, in Bill Belichick's first draft, they spent that 6th-round pick on Tom Brady.
Who? Who's
but
that
they
guy?
Would continue to draft
quarterbacks. Yes, they did. They drafted Ryan Mallett, got something for him.
It's like 8, I think 11 in his 18 years, they've taken a quarterback.
Drafted Matt Castle, got something for him.
Four in the first six years. They even drafted Cliff Kingsbury.
Sure.
What?
Yeah.
But, you know,
and Ryan Mallett.
Well,
they drafted somebody.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I know.
Jimmy Garoppolo
and have to be in there somewhere.
But yeah, Garoppolo is the best example.
Garoppolo and Brissett have higher passer ratings than Mitch. So the Patriots are trading away guys who are better than the one the Bears traded up for.
Ron Wolf. Well, they had Favre, and they drafted Matt Hasselbeck. Traded him. Drafted Aaron Brooks. Traded him. Drafted Mark Brunell. Traded him. Sure.
Ryan Pace has no idea. All right.
Bear down.
We thank David Schuster, Mark Grody, Patrick Finley for joining us today. Zach Withers and Adam Studzinski produced this epic. Matt Spiegel and I voiced it to take up time just as a warm-up show for Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks on The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Oh, O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.